for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 4th, 1986. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jimmy Hood is the minister of the morning.
Praise God. Amen. You know, Brother Glenn, I didn't know I was supposed to minister yesterday morning, and I walked in the auditorium, and Brother Glenn said, I want you to share this morning. I said, okay. And I sat down. I said, God, I don't have the anointing, and I can't minister without the anointing. I said, I'll tell you right now, I told you the kind of folks God uses the other day when I spoke. Over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the foolish and the weak and the base and the despised and the nothings. And I said, I fit that category. And I said, Lord, I ain't got anything. I don't have the anointing, and I can't minister. So I asked some of the brothers that were up here to pray for me, and boy, the power of God fell on me. I mean, I was so anointed, all I could do was sit there and cry and cry and cry. The power was just all over me. And frankly, I was a little disappointed when I had that great anointing and didn't get to minister. And I said, God, what's wrong? Here, what's this anointing for? And you know what he told me? He said, son, you had the power, but you didn't have the peace. And he says, that power has to be channeled. It has to be operative through my peace. And when that peace is there and the power, says, then you can minister. So that's why you didn't minister. Said, you would have ministered power, but there would have been confusion, and you weren't supposed to minister. And I said, well, thank you, Jesus. But I want to tell you this morning, I got the power, and I've got the peace. And there's a fire burning in my stomach. I might look cool, calm, and collected up here, but I tell you, there's a fire burning in my stomach. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's burning there. I don't know what I'm going to preach to y'all. I was up in the room praying and kind of preaching to myself. I preached four different sermons. I don't know which one y'all are going to get, but praise God. Brothers and sisters, we've heard a lot about tribulation this week, haven't we? That we're coming into the last times, the last days, a time of tribulation, a time of trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble. And in this time of trouble, we're going to need supernatural protection. And the brothers have told us about this, and we believe it. But, you know, and this supernatural protection does not come just because we're born again. It's not just an automatic thing. You know, the denominational church teaches you get the baptism when you get saved, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember I taught on that the other day? You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you get the initial evidence that goes with it, which is speaking in an unknown language or speaking in tongues. And you don't automatically get this divine protection just because you've been born again, you're in the kingdom of God, but you don't automatically come under the umbrella of God. We have to ask God. Doesn't the Bible say you have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts? We have to ask God to protect us, and we also have to ask in faith. There are many people that have had the born-again experience, that have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that are going to be swept away in these torrents of evil that are coming on the earth in this immediate time element. In this particular time, there are going to be many that will be swept away. We've seen them. We've already seen many, many people that have come into the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They've walked in the Spirit. They've prophesied. They've prayed for people and got healed. Supernatural power of God flowed through them, and all of a sudden they're swept away by this demonic flood, this horde of demons that Satan is unleashing in these last days. But there are a lot of promises in the Bible. Let's turn with me to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. That is all things, brothers, A-double-L, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us, and this gives us all things that pertain unto life. That's in the nitty-gritty, that's in the here and now. I'm not talking about way off or even close-up tribulation. I'm talking about tribulation we're in now. He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, the degeneration, the perverseness, the uncleanness, the unholiness that is in the world through lust. It's all lust, isn't it? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We've been singing it this week. That's every sin's covered by those three items. Every sin that's known to man. And he says he's given us great and divine promises that will deliver us, that we might be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through these lusts. Praise Jesus. Turn with me to Psalm 91. You know, I prayed about when I knew I was going to be coming here and speaking, I prayed about what God would give me to speak on. And he told me to teach on Psalm 91 because this contains many of those great and precious promises that are in the Word of God. You know that this Bible, right here, contains 5,487 promises in it. If you don't believe it, count them. I never have, but that's what a brother counted them and said. And there's a plenty in here, though, to take care of your every need, whatever it is. If it's not specifically in here, it's there in principle. And you can take that, and you can take that promise as your own, and you can walk out in it. See, all of God's promises have conditions. Did you know that? They're conditional. God will do certain things if you do certain things. God says, I will protect you. I will watch over you. But you have certain things to do. Let's start reading in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what the secret place of the Most High is? We've had some teaching on it this week. The secret place of the Most High is the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwells. You remember the temple? There was the outer court. There was the holy place. Three items in there. Table of showbread. The lamp, seven bowls on it. The altar of incense. And behind that, there was a big, heavy tapestry. And God was behind that. That's where God's presence on earth was. There was the Ark of the Covenant there. There was the mercy seat above that. And the cherubim were standing there, these angels, golden angels, with their wings touching one another from wall to wall. And that was where the Shekinah glory of God was. The high priest went in there one time a year. Nobody could go in that place. The high priest went in once a year, not without blood. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He went in once a year, sprinkling blood. And it was an awesome thing. He went in to not only to get forgiveness for his sins, but also for the sins of the Israelites. It was an awesome thing. And the people were afraid because if there was unconfessed sin, the priest would be killed. And, you know, the power of God was so strong. One time a year, only the high priest, not without shedding of blood. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. When Jesus died on that cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished, Father," he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And it wasn't into the devil's hands like some people are preaching this day. It was into the Father's hands. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." When he did that, there was something happened in the temple. That veil, that big, heavy covering, that tapestry, very high, came down. That thing ripped from the very top, from God's side, down to the bottom. It ripped open. And the way into the holiest was opened up for me and for each one of you. It says over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let's look at the 10th chapter, the 19th verse. I want you to see this because I'm getting somewhere. I want you to see where I'm getting. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter into this holy place by a new. See, we don't have to wait for the high priest that was a man to enter in for us and to make a sacrifice for our sins. Offer that blood. It's been offered once and for all by the Lord Jesus. And we have a new and living way which he, Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil. When that veil split, Jesus offered his own blood on that altar. He offered his own blood on that altar that's in heaven. And by that, we have access to the throne of grace. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus is our high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. See, that door has been opened, brothers and sisters. That veil has been rent. And we have access, having boldness, to enter into the holiest. Not cringing, creeping, afraid of the power of God. You better be afraid of God. He's a God of power. You better reverence him and all, be in awe over him. But we have boldness as we come to Jesus, have been washed in the blood and cleansed. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:16. I want you to look at that word boldly because that's going to be part of what I'm getting to. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How are we supposed to come boldly? Not out there in fear and trembling like the Israelites were when that high priest went in. Is he going to come out? Is he going to come out? Is he going to come out? They put bells on the bottom of his garment so they could hear those bells ringing. Bells stopped, man. They panicked. Is he going to come out? Is our sacrifice going to be acceptable? But this sacrifice, brothers and sisters, is acceptable. His name is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something while we're at it. We don't accept Jesus. He accepts us. He's not unacceptable where we have to accept him. He's totally acceptable. We're the ones that are unacceptable. Except through the blood of Jesus. And when we come through the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. Amen. Perfectly holy and righteous. But we are to come into that throne room with boldness. You know, God honors those that are bold. Praise Jesus. We can come into the secret place of the Most High. Praise God. We must dwell there. There's a place of fellowship with God. We're going to stay in Psalm 91. I've turned away from it too, so let me get back there. And most of the rest, I may give you a few other scriptures as the Lord leads you. I could preach, as Brother Tommy said, he could preach a whole message on one scripture. He says, I could preach a whole message on this first verse of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to dwell there. It says, he that dwells there. We don't go in and pay a little visit. Well, thank you, God. It sure was nice. I'll see you later. I'm going back to my business. I'm going back to the affairs of this world. No, God says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, then you shall abide under that covering, under that shadow of the Almighty. That's your kind of glory. And as you abide under that, you're under that divine protection. You're under that divine honor. As you are abiding, I'm going to tell you how to abide today, folks. I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty where you're living at.
Amen.
We've been told we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that, and we're supposed to be overcomers. Hasn't anybody been telling me how to overcome? And I'm going to tell you how to overcome. I'm going to open up my heart to you and tell you some things that God has been showing me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Says, then we can say, when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then we can say, I will say of the Lord, verse 2, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. That's the condition, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
You don't just come there willy-nilly. You don't come there reading a Bible verse at night before you go to bed. You don't come there bending down on the side of the bed at night with your knees bent, saying, well, you know, God, just a little short prayer, jump in bed and go on to sleep. It's abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. It's abiding in the secret place of the Most High. And abiding means you're living there. It means you're spending time with God. You're taking time out from you making time. You're too busy to spend time with God. You're too busy to make it into the kingdom. You're going to have to spend time with God. It's a discipline. I like to walk in the Spirit. Boy, I love to see these brothers prophesy. Boy, I want to see angels like Brother Jack. I want to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't get into that position just with a little church on Sunday and Wednesday night. You don't get in that position by just saying little brief prayers and reading the Bible every now and then. You get in that position by spending time with God and getting to know what God's saying to you. And when you get to know what God's saying to you, then you're starting to come into the abiding place.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, Brother Jimmy, do you abide in the secret place of the Most High? Sometimes. Praise God. Not like I'd like to, not like God wants me to, not like I want to. Sometimes I do. I abide there much more than I did since I've been a Christian at other times. I'm starting to learn how to abide. I like the Apostle Paul says over in Philippians 3, 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God, listen, people. God, listen to me. There's some people who've got a heart for God here. I've seen you. God wants you to press in with boldness into that holy place. He wants you to abide in that place. He wants you boldly. You know what Jesus said over in Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 12th verse? He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. You know, God, I had such a hunger for God when I came into the, well, the salvation, praise God. I've had a hunger for God. God put a hunger in my heart for the things of God. But God doesn't want any halfway Christians. It's going to cost you, brothers and sisters. It's going to cost you everything. You might as well just decide that right now. If you got your business, your family, or anything else before God, you've got idols in your life, and then you need to get delivered. God wants you to be walking in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I can remember, I didn't have a baptism. I'd gotten saved. I had a furniture store. Now, I remember walking out one night, and I locked the door, turned the key, closing up, everybody had gone. And I said, God, this is all yours. Everything I've got is yours. I said, if you want me to take this key out of the door and throw it out there in the middle of the street and just walk from it, I said, I'll do it. See, you've got to give it all to God. He'll give it back. But He may not give it back. If He doesn't, it's all right. It's His to do with as He wants. Amen. And praise God. You know, you got to be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that were getting ready to get thrown in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
And they said, in effect, you know, we serve the living God. Says He'll save us out of that thing, but if He doesn't, we still serve the living God. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that's the attitude that God wants.
Amen.
Your finances, your brothers and sisters, I've had all the world has to offer. I've had it all. It's death. I've had it politically, religiously, financially. I've had it all. It's just death. That's all it is. It's nothing. Paul said it's dung. I count all these things but dung. I've had some acclaim in the political arena. I was not, I never was governor of a state or anything, but I was county chairman of the Republican Party in our county. I was on Richard Nixon's private personal Christmas card list. Praise God, I'm being delivered from that. That's before he got impeached. I mean, you say, well, what's a Christmas? Well, I don't have any Christmas cards from any other presidents, I'll tell you that. Amen. I've had many things that the world has to offer. I've had some amount of success community-wise and civic work. I've been on the school board in our hometown. Directors of the Chamber of Commerce and all these things. I want to tell you, that's just dumb. When God came into my life, I gave it all up. I didn't want it. I didn't want to be unequally yoked. No. Brother Jack talked about he wasn't a joiner. He joined one thing. I joined the Navy when I was 16. And, brother, I'll tell you, when they had us on the drill field in about 100-degree weather out there in Shoemaker, California, waiting to go overseas on that trip, and here's a little 16-year-old, wasn't dry behind the ears, about 3,000 miles from home already and getting ready to go further overseas, brother, I thought, I made a mistake too, Brother Jack. I thought, I'm going to go tell that chief petty officer, I'm really not 17 years old. Amen. But God wants it all. He wants it all. And I'm exhorting you this morning to give it all to God. Whatever it is in your life, there's a lot of people who've got a heart for God. And God, you don't give it all. You don't just make one quantum leap and all of a sudden you're walking in the secret place of the Most High. There's a price to pay and it takes time because God has to teach you some things. First, he has to unlearn you some things. He's got to get some junk out of your life. He's got to get these things that defile you and hinder you. And that's where deliverance comes in. He's got to get this junk out of your life where you can move into this realm that God wants you to move in. When God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, it wasn't any time that I started moving in the gifts. I mean, miracles. See them. Legs grow out and all these things. I said, boy, God, you sure are lucky to have me on your team. Praise God. Here's just another Apostle Paul being raised up here. Praise God. I'm somebody. But God does not put up that kind of attitude. And as Sister Nina prophesied over me, and I want to get that tape, brother, said, God's had you in your prayer closet. I've been in my prayer closet for a year. 1982, I liquidated my furniture business. I was going full-time service for the Lord. Boy, I set up a big meeting. God had given me a burden for Chattanooga, Tennessee. I thought, well, we'll start out with a crusade there, but we'll have one kind of lay the groundwork, get the feel of this thing right here in Talladega, which in Alabama, which is my hometown. So I've done a lot of promotion. I've been in furniture, and I know how to do advertising and all this. So we got some brochures printed up, ads in the paper, put them out all over town, pasted them on windows and all this stuff. Big, rented a hall at the Great Western Motel, and really ready. I had some brothers working with me. I said, you brothers, y'all go out there and kind of, get everybody in, get them seated when they come in. I said, I'm going up here in this room. They'd given us a little room in the hotel there, in the motel. And I'm going up there and pray, and when I come out, then we'll go ahead and start the meeting. So I was up there praying, oh, God, boy, I'm just looking for great things. I said, that thing's probably going to be packed out. I walked out there, one woman. Her husband was with her. He'd gone to get a sandwich or something. He came back. Maybe four or five other folks drifted in, not many more than that. That woman that came and her husband, she got delivered from about 3 illnesses, and I think maybe he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Both of them really got ministered to. But that was all it came. Chattanooga was almost the same, a little better. But, see, God let me fall on my face because I was moving out in the flesh. God hadn't sent me out to do that. And every door, I just wanted to minister. I tell you, there was a fire burning in my stomach, and I wanted to minister for God. I wanted to do things for God. But God says, it's not time, son. So we just started, you know, our local church. It was going pretty good. Not really big, but it was evolved from a small prayer group. And last August, we had 20, 25 coming. I'd set apart part of my office. I'd gone into the real estate business in the meantime after I'd liquidated my store, and I saw God had not sent me out to do great crusades. And I had a real estate license, so I'd gone into the real estate business, but we'd kept part of the office for a chapel in there. And we had 20, 25. Within a 2-week period, they were all gone. I mean, they were getting blessed, ministered to, delivered, healed, getting teaching, sound teaching in the Word. They all left. No big problem. No great cleavage. I mean, these people love me. They still call on me. They call me for prayer. They just left. My wife and I just met together for several weeks there, and nobody showed up. Maybe one or two sometimes. Finally, the Lord said, shut it down last August. And I've been in my prayer closet since last August. I ministered out here with Brother Glenn when I came out here for the spring camp. Brother Tommy had to leave unexpectedly, and Brother Jack left, and Glenn asked me to take the Sunday morning service, and they must have liked what they had because they asked me to come back. But I've ministered there, and I've ministered in another church 4 nights, and that's all I've ministered in the last year. I mean, really, God's had me in the prayer closet, but I'm learning to get into that secret place of the Most High. I'm learning to abide under that shadow. And I was so thankful I didn't get to speak yesterday morning. Because, see, it wasn't God's time. God's got a time and a place for everything. He's got a time and a place for your ministry, my ministry, and each one of you got a ministry, whatever it is. Each one of you has a ministry, but God's got a time and a place for each one of you. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Psalm 91. When you start dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you can say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely, not maybe, not sometimes, but surely, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Who's the fowler? It's the devil, isn't it? And his demons. And their snares. He's got plenty of snares out there for you brothers and sisters, and a lot of you have fallen into them in the past. And that's what you're getting set free from this week, and I praise God for it, from the snares of the enemy. He'll deliver you as you abide in the secret place of the Most High. Now, I've seen a lot of deliverance over the years, a lot of it. We got into it just the time we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just backed into it almost. I didn't know anything about it. Never had heard of Win Worley or any of these people that teach in deliverance. We had a youth group, a little 13-year-old girl. They were meeting at our home, 12, 15 kids. And she said, Mr. Hood, I've got a problem. Look, sweet little 16-year-old girl. I said, okay, honey, let's just hold hands. We'll pray about it, sitting there on the couch. And all of a sudden, this man's voice comes out of it and says, you people go to hell. I said, oh, boy. Hair on my head just stood straight up. And so we started. I knew what it was. I'd read enough scripture, and I believed in demons. I knew what we were supposed to do, that we had power to cast them out. So I said, come on, kids, we got a problem, man. So we all started praying against that thing. And about that time, there was a boy studying for the ministry, been off at college. He was home for the weekend. He said, Mr. Hood. He said, Mr. There's a spirit of lust, as a matter of fact. He said, Mr. Hood. He said, I've got a spirit of lust, and it's manifesting in me. And the spirit that's in the girl says, that's right. Says, there's two of us, and we're stronger than you are. I said, yeah, I believe they are. That's right. Praise God. God in his mercy had sent a boy there that had been to one deliverance session off when he was off at college, and he knew a little bit about it, and God spoke to him prophetically. And he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's more power than a legion of angels. And so I said, that's right, praise God. And the thing settled down, and cast the spirit out of the boy, and went back and cast it out of the girl, and she got delivered. That was my introduction to deliverance. Praise God. Amen. But God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler as you're walking in the secret place. Deliverance is not a cure-all. Did you know that, people? When you get set free of that thing, you better fill it up with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, with the presence of the Almighty. Because that enemy will come back in, he'll come back around that back door, and he'll slip in a way you never would have thought how he would have done it. But he'll do it because he's going to test you. Listen, people, every time you step out for God, the devil is going to test you. He's going to try you. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you from doing anything for God or by the Spirit of God. I'll tell you right now, he will. He will do it. Praise God. He covers us. You know, it's just like he covers us with his feathers, doesn't he? It's just like a hen or the chicks. Feathers. You ever seen a mother hen with little bitty chicks running around, and they'll get maybe a foot or two away from that hen, but first time there's any hen of trouble, they run, and she just holds her wings out, and they kind of come up under her. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to dwell in that secret place of the Most High. He covers us with his feathers. So we come unto him, and Father, I got out of your range a little bit, but I'm back here now. Just come on, tuck me in, Lord, and he'll do it. He does it. Praise God, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. God's going to test you. He's going to test you. See, Jeremiah, in the 17th chapter, we won't turn there, 5th verse. He said, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So when you start trusting in your abilities, and your strength, and your power, your knowledge, your wisdom, you're sitting up for the enemy. You've got to look to the Lord. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. And as you do this, now I'm telling you some down-to-earth stuff, because this is where we're living, folks. This is where the nitty-gritty is. And I'm talking about in every business deal, in every relationship, in every activity of life, we're to trust in the Lord and look under his guidance. And as we look under his guidance, then praise God, that protective feathers are over us. Hallelujah. We're not to trust in the flesh. But the enemy's going to test you. See, I made a decision. It's been about 12 years ago now. I was going to trust God for everything. I call this 91st Psalm my assurance policy, not my insurance policy. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Jimmy Hood, you're crazy. And I guess I'm crazy about Jesus, I'll tell you that. I'm real crazy about Jesus. But I've done a lot of crazy things, and a lot of people said I was crazy. I dropped all of my insurance. I was just going to trust God. I was just going to trust God to protect me no matter what happens. Dropped my car insurance, my house insurance, had a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy. I replaced that Blue Cross with the old Rugged Cross. I placed that Blue Shield with the Shield of Faith. And I just started trusting God. I'm not telling you to do this. I'm telling you where I'm coming from. Matter of fact, I tell you, don't do it unless you've got the faith for it. Because the enemy's going to test you. He will try you. We had a brand new, this was 74, I guess. Had a brand new 74 Buick Century. Dropped my insurance. A little girl takes the car out. She goes out for a ride. Or I don't know where she was going. She comes across an intersection, and there's been a wreck about a block up the street, and the blue lights were blinking, and the ambulances were there. Well, she's watching that thing. She pulls across this intersection, then looked to the right. Car broadsides her. Knocks her head on into another car coming this way, and it knocks her up against the telephone pole, just crushes the car, tows it out. She called me at the store. She said, Daddy, I've had a wreck. I said, well, honey, are you hurt? said, "Dad, I just got a little scratch on my nasal. That's all she got. The car was totaled. Now, God replaced that car. God replaced it with one better than that, one of the best cars we've ever had. Got a new Monte Carlo. My wife was saying the other day, that's the best car we ever had. God replaced it. But the devil will test you on every aspect of your walk with Jesus. He'll test you. And you just better be prepared for it. And you better be walking in faith. Praise God." I told Eloise, I said, "We're going to get rid of all the medicine that we got. I'm going to trust Jesus." I was going to a dermatologist at that time. He had me on a diet that was so restrictive, it was terrible. I couldn't eat anything that was good. No chocolate, no French fries, you know, nothing. I mean, I think squash and spinach and, you know, stuff like that. I said, "Honey," and I'd just gone to the drugstore the day. I'd been to the doctor, and he'd given me ultraviolet rays and shots and salves and pills. I'd come home with a whole sack full of that junk. I don't know how much it was, a lot of dollars. And I said, "Honey," I said, "I'm going to trust, we're just going to trust Jesus all the way. I'm going to eat anything I want. I'm going to trust Jesus." He said, "Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving and prayer, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And it was sanctified food. So I threw that stuff away. I didn't throw it in the trash can where I could go get it back. I threw it away. Praise God. Boy, my face used to be just marvelous. It's still, you know, it's got a little ways to go, but it's nothing like it used to be. And, boy, I thought I'd get up the next morning. I'm going to look at my face. It's going to be clear as a bell. Praise God. I just ate all this stuff. Boy, I got up and looked in the mirror the next morning. Oh, God, what's wrong? My face was red and bumps and sore. It just looked terrible. Stayed that way about a week or two. But I just trusted God, because the enemy's going to test you. Every move that you make in God, he's going to test you. He's going to try you, and you stand on the word. You stand on this word. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow," verse 5, "that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." What's the terror by night? It's robbers. Those night creatures that are around, you know, they come in. I used to be so, listen, folks, before I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I used to have so many fears in me, boy. You talk about them. Some of the guys were praying against a macho spirit yesterday. I had a macho spirit. Boy, I was so tough. I thought everybody, you know, I wanted everybody to think how tough I was. And I was the biggest sissy inside you ever saw. I had all kind of fears. I mean, really, outwardly, boy, I was macho. You know, I'd do all these wild things, even when I was a kid. But inside, I was just fearful. I slept with a pistol under my bed at night in case some robber would come in there. Man, you hear the house creaking, that's a robber. Boy, my heart goes boom, 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 boom. None of y'all have ever done that. You know, I know that, but that's a robber. And I've gotten up in the middle of the night and gone all through the house with my pistol going to shoot that booger. You know, thank God it never was one. I never had to shoot one. It was just a house creaking or something, you know. But he will protect us. And when I came to Jesus, I got delivered from that spirit of fear. I got delivered from a whole lot of other fears. And that's where deliverance is so wonderful, because it can deliver you from this bondage. Praise Jesus. The terror by night, the arrow that flieth by day. That's these accidents that the enemy will put on you. Boy, you're just going down the road, and all of a sudden, something happens. See, that wreck my daughter had wasn't the only wreck we've had. But God always protected us. I was with my wife one day. There's a four-way stop sign. When she looked both ways, started across. Here comes a car at 40 miles an hour, goes right through the stop sign, hits right on my wife. She was driving, hits right there, just smashes the side of the car, turns us completely around in the road, a drunk driver, just as drunk as he could be. Not a scratch on us. God fixed that car. I didn't have any insurance, you know. But God fixed it. Not only fixed it, put money in my pocket. I mean, that's true. Guy tried to rip us off. It fixed it. He charged us for some work, putting some new panels and all on the side. He charged us for new panels, and he'd gotten them from a wrecked car, you know, the same thing, and had put them in there. And the adjuster caught it, and the guy reimbursed us. He not only fixed the car, and it looked fine, but he reimbursed us for what he had overcharged us. I told the insurance company they'd already paid him, and they said, well, don't, you know, it'll just mess up paperwork. I'll let it go. So, you know, I wasn't trying to beat anybody or anything. I didn't have anything to do with it. God did it. And God, as you walk with him, he will protect you. Another time, a man slammed into my wife. The bumper went right under where she was sitting, just penetrated through the side of the car. It'd been 6 inches higher, just gone right through her. Not a scratch. Not a scratch. Because as you walk with Jesus, he'll protect you against that arrow that flieth by day.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
Pestilence that walketh in darkness. You know what the pestilence is. There are many pestilences, brothers and AIDS. They say it's going to be epidemic in just a few years. It's almost epidemic now. It's not just with homosexuals now. It's with heterosexuals. It's all over Africa. There's not a country in the whole continent of Africa that's not infected with it. It's heterosexuals as well as homosexuals, and it's spreading this way, and it's going to be epidemic within just a few years. It'll be epidemic, and there's no cure for it except through the power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The healing power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. For the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What is that? What Brother Jack's been talking about. This is that destruction that wasteth at noonday. This is these great calamities that are coming on this world. These tidal waves are going to just sweep people across whole continents. Atom bombs, these type of things. But we don't have to be afraid of those if we're abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid of them. Thousands shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh us. Shall not come nigh thee. If you're walking in that secret place of the Most High, as Brother Jack says, you've got immunity. You've got immunity. You'll see them, boy, they'll be falling like flies. There'll just be carnage all around you, and you'll just be standing there with the peace of God on you watching it. It says, only with their eyes shall they behold the reward of the wicked. Why? Verse 9, because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, their habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now, we've been seeing angels here all week. People have seen them in various places, in this congregation, in this tabernacle, over the tabernacle, on the campgrounds, over different people. But God's angels have got charge over each one of you. Did you know each one of you has a guardian angel? An angel that's watching over you? And they watch over you. Sometimes the enemy slips through. Yes, he does. Sometimes we open the door for the enemy to slip through. And the angel's hands are tied. He can't do anything about it when we open the door. But if we're walking in the secret place of the Most High, there shall no evil befall you, none. None whatsoever. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise God. You know, God, as we're in these last days, God's getting ready to do some supernatural things that really have not been seen in our lifetime. I'm just looking forward to it because I want all that God's got for me. You know, God said, that scripture I read in Hebrews, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I come boldly, folks. I do. I want all God's got for me. I've wanted it ever since I came into it. Sometimes I'm in my prayer closet. And you know, the Bible says, knock. It says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And I stand out and say, God, that's me knocking on the door. That's me knocking, Lord. That's Jimmy. I want this, Lord, and I want that. I'm knocking. I'm coming boldly like your word says. Not presumptuously, reverently, but I'm coming boldly because you said it in your word, and I believe it, and God, that settles it. I'm coming boldly to your throne of grace. That's me knocking, Lord. I want to see angels like Brother Jack. I'll see them. God's no respecter of persons. Who's Brother Jack? He's nothing. I mean, really. I'm nothing. It's a blessing, but God, but see, till you get to where you're nothing, you're not going to see angels. I've seen two angels in my lifetime. One was the angel of death that was on a young man, and that was a big strapping thing, and as we started coming against him in the name of Jesus and the power of the blood of Jesus, I saw that rascal getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and as we kept coming against him and rebuking him, he got down about so high, and he was right over against the baseboard of my living room, and finally he just scuttled through that baseboard like a rat through his hole. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see him more. One time we prayed for a young man. Well, he wasn't so young. He had a junkyard. And somebody was breaking in that junkyard every night. And they were stealing good junk, copper, brass, stuff that was really good, you know. And he didn't know what to do about it. So I said, well, let's ask God to send an angel to watch over that thing. And as we prayed, I saw an angel about 9 or 10 feet tall, dressed like a Roman gladiator, I mean a Roman centurion, had one of those short swords on his side. He's standing there with his arms folded, and we stationed him before the gate of that junkyard and told him not to let anybody through. You know, he was having robberies 2, 3, 4 times a week. Never another robbery after that. He's dead now. He's dead now. But that angel, I would have hated to go on up there and start rattling that gate. I don't know what he'd have done, but I know one thing. The robbery stopped from that night on. Now, I've seen those two angels. I'm going to see more, but I don't ask God, God, let me see angels. I just want to see it all. I tell you, we were at a full gospel businessmen's meeting here a few weeks ago. There was a young minister there telling about he'd been having some fantastic experiences that he'd been reading in the Bible about being transported supernaturally. You remember how Philip had prayed with the Ethiopian eunuch, had baptized him, and then says the Spirit lifted him up and he landed at Azotus. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He said that he started going through the Scriptures and seeing where people were supernaturally transported just instantly. And he said he'd been thinking about that and praying about it. He said one day he was going to a little town about 12 miles away from where he was, and he started around this, it was a two-lane road, and he started around this chicken truck, had a bunch of chickens on it. As he started around, he saw a little cloud up there in the road. He said, Lord, that's strange. He said, here it is, a sunny day, it hadn't been raining or anything, there should be a cloud there. And as he passed through that little cloud, all of a sudden, he blinked or something. I mean, he blacked out, not blacked out, but just, it was kind of something happened. And all of a sudden, he was on the outskirts of this town, 12 miles away, driving into town. And he said, Lord, that's the strangest thing. He said, I know that there's something in the subconscious that, he said, I must have just kind of blanked out and went, you know, my way. He said, but even if you're in that state, your subconscious will pick up points of interest or the scenery or barns or something like that. And he said, when I go back, I'm going to check and see if there's anything that rings any memory in my mind. And he went back. Absolutely nothing. He didn't remember seeing anything going up that he saw coming back. And that hadn't happened once to him. It's happened several times. When he got through, he came over to my table where my wife and I were sitting. He said, Brother, you believe all this stuff, don't you? I said, I sure do. And I said, I want it. And he started prophesying over me. He prophesied for about 5 minutes. And God's going to start doing that with me. Because I want to tell you something. There's coming a time when you're not going to be able to jump in your car and go wherever you want to. You're not going to have the gas and you're not going to have the car. And God wants you to preach somewhere and he just gets you there instantly. And he's going to start doing this. I'm not talking about way off 50 years down the line. I'm talking about tomorrow, maybe today. If I leave here real suddenly, y'all know what happens. Praise God. But God's doing that. God's going to start doing it more and more. We're going to see more supernatural move of the Spirit of God than you've ever dreamed possible. And I'm not talking about way off. It's starting to happen right now. Amen. Woo, glory. Amen. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Amen. But God's given us power, folks, right here, in the here and now, even without that. He's given us the Holy Ghost, and he's given us the authority of the Word of God. I'll tell you about... I've got enough time. I'm going to ask me if I was going to minister. I don't guess I am. It's not in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just going to minister in the Word today. But we had next to my furniture store, there had been an old bank building, and they moved a pool hall in there. And it was an ungodly kind of a place. You know what pool halls are. I used to spend a lot of time in them when I was a kid. I thought that was manly, you know, and all that. But they were ungodly kind of places. Well, one night, there were four boys over there. They were filling with drugs. They got high on drugs. They left the pool hall, and the power company was right up their office. It was about three or four doors up the street from the pool hall and four or five doors from my office. And they went up and broke in the back door. There was a friend of mine in there working late. They didn't know he was in there. And they took a bar and prized the door open. As he came back to see what the noise was, they hit him over the head with that bar and killed him. You know, that really, really hurt me. I didn't like it. I said, God, we don't have to put up with this kind of stuff. And I went out. This was one Saturday night. It was maybe a few weeks after that, you know, when I found out they arrested the boys, and they're in prison now, but that doesn't bring back this friend of mine's life. And I went and stood in front of that thing, and I said, you foul place, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I bind every spirit in here, and I curse you, as Jesus cursed the fig tree. I said, I curse you, and I command you, in the name of Jesus, to dry up from the roots and be gone.
Amen.
And I came back to work Monday morning. That building was empty. I don't know what happened. Every pool table was gone. Everything in it was gone. I mean, it was gone. We don't have to. I felt kind of foolish, you know, standing right out there in the middle of the street, cursing that thing and putting my fist up and coming against it. God wants you to do some foolish things. When God tells you to do something, do it. I don't care what it looks like. If it looks foolish, do it anyhow. Be a fool for God. I tell you, you'll never miss God not doing anything, but you'll never be in his will, because God's going to tell you to do some strange things. And sometimes it might be your own intellect, your own mind, but you'll never know if you don't do it, if it was God or you. When God gives you a prophecy, prophesy. When you get that little nudge in your spirit, let it go. Just believe it's God. That's right. Move out in faith. Back behind my office now. It's a different location, but I've got a lot that goes all the way from one street back to the alley, and about my building just takes up about half of it, so there's empty space back to the alley. And there's another little lot next door to it, and it's kind of grown up. And all the old winos used to hang out back there. They'd be back there drinking their wine. They all know me. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, Jimmy? I witnessed all of them. I prayed with several of them to receive Jesus and cast some demons out of some of them. They always go back to the bottle. That thing's so entrenched in them, and they don't really want to get delivered. You've got to want deliverance, haven't you, to get delivered. If you want it, you can get it, because it's available for you. But they throw their old wine bottles, and they'd go to the bathroom back there and all this stuff, and I'd kind of put up with it, because I didn't want to make them mad, because I knew they'd mess my car up or something like that, and I parked back there. A couple of other guys parked back there. So I just kind of put up with it, and every once in a while, I'd get somebody to go clean it up, or somebody else would clean it up, one of the other guys that parked there. And one day, about six or 8 months ago, I got out of my car, and all this junk here, I don't have to put up with this stuff. I don't have to put up with this junk. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse these people that are putting this thing on here, and in the name of Jesus, devil, I said, you've messed up this lot. I said, I don't want another wine bottle. I don't want anybody relieving themselves back here. I don't want any of this stuff. And another thing, devil, in the name of Jesus, you clean this place up and get all these bottles up and out of here. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you do it in the name of Jesus. I went back the next morning. That lot was clean. I mean, it's clean. It's clean. I don't know where they went. I don't know who got them up. And those drunks quit coming back there. They don't hang around there. They speak to me, but it's very respectfully. It's not, hey, Jimmy. It's, you know, they're just real polite and real nice. They speak to me, and I speak to all of them. God loves them. Hallelujah. But and every once in a while, there must be a new drunk come through town. He'll go back there, and I'll find a bottle. And when I see that thing, I say, devil, I told you to keep this thing clean. In the name of Jesus, you get that bottle picked up. I'm not about to pick it up. You get that thing picked up and get it out of here. And when I go back the next day, they're gone. I'm telling you the truth. The truth is, I was real surprised that first morning when I went back there. Oh, ye of little faith, you know. But God's merciful. He's gracious. And if we're walking in the secret place of the Most High, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to finish up. It's about lunchtime. Verse 11, he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here's deliverance, verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me. This is God talking to us now. This is where we come into that abiding place in God. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. You all see all these promises? You believe that there are 5,487 promises in this book? There's probably 50 or 60 right in this one psalm. It's not but 16 verses. God Almighty says we can call on him and he will answer us if we are abiding in his secret place. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. People, God will do it. But I'm here to exhort you this morning to start setting a time for God. Put God first and all the other stuff second. I heard Larry Lee speaking one day a while back, and he talked about setting aside at least an hour in the morning just to pray before God. And I started doing that. I do a good bit more than that, but I try to set aside at least an hour in the morning, early, before the household arises, just to get before the throne and come before God and spend time with God. And boy, he'll tell you a lot of things. He'll show you a lot of things you need to get straightened up in your lives. He showed me a lot of things. He's still showing me. I wish I could say, boy, I've arrived. I haven't. But I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Zion. Amen. Praise God. Now, a lot of you just like me. But God is no respecter of persons. And I want you to start realizing that you can come boldly into the throne of grace. If you're under the blood, you don't need to make any apologies. You're worthy. Brother came up and had a word for me just before I spoke. He said, God says to tell you that you're worthy and acceptable, or words to that effect, I don't remember, but that he loves you and you're worthy. Not in my strength, but through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the blood of the Lamb. I'm worthy, and each one of you that's been washed in the blood is worthy. You've got throne rights, and I urge you, I exhort you to start exercising your throne rights. Don't let the enemy put you under. Don't let him oppress you. When he comes against you, you come against him. People think I'm nuts in my town. I don't care. I just walk down the street singing and whistling. I have people stop me on the street and say, boy, you sure are happy. What's up? I say, sister, brother, if you had what I've got, you'd be happy too. So what have you got? I said, I've got the Holy Ghost. And they, oh, well, you know, they roll their eyes. Praise God. But they stop me, and I've got the joy of the Lord. And it's God, I'll tell you, because you ever want to see a miserable mess of a human being, you ought to see me BC. before Christ. Amen. 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 Brother Glenn, I'm going to turn it over to you. I don't feel like the Lord had me to minister.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. And we appreciate you coming over and being with us. And we appreciate the word that the Lord has given us. But when you were talking about the feathers, I know what Brother Jack thought, and I thought the same thing, and some of the rest of you, about what the Lord showed Brother Jack about the feathers. That was his shelter and protection underneath the feathers, the arm of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. I guess they're about ready for us in there. 1:15, you ladies will go upstairs, and we men will gather together over here again and work together. And then at 2:30, why, we'll come back for the afternoon service, gather back together as a group. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to hide it in our hearts, that we will desire to be clean and holy before you, to learn to know you and to walk after your ways, and to hide your word in our heart, that we will not sin against thee, that, Father, we will come into a place within the Holy of Holies where thy protection will be over us and the hand of the Lord will be about us. And we thank you for your presence in our midst that's here amongst us now. We thank you, Father, as we learn to dwell in that place of the holy place before thee, that presence will stay with us continually wherever we are and whatever we're doing. We'll have no fear of the things that are about us, for our faith and our trust will be in the things of the Lord. And our trust will be that he will protect us and watch over us and supply our needs. And I thank you that you do and that you are and that you will. Now bless this food to our bodies. Make it health and strength to us that they've prepared for us in the kitchen. We bless those that labor in there, Lord, and hear as they can, as they work. And Father, let a double portion of thy blessing rest upon them and upon Ron, Lord, and others who labor to keep the garbage cleaned up and the floors clean. And Brother Tom, Lord, as he works to have the kitchen, the tables ready for us to eat, and take care and keep order in the kitchen. Or in the dining room. I bless him, Lord, for that. And help us, Lord, not to rebel against the order. For if we're going to walk in the army of the Lord, we have to learn to come into under authority. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us all to come under authority as we walk before thee. Now I bless the food. Make it health and strength to us. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.